We're on? Okay. All right, Yasher Koch, Rabbi Benovitz. I was told by Josh this year that that we're focusing on practical guidance. I think in previous years, this is always a privilege and a highlight, the opportunity to do some sort of staff training and shiur with the kollel. In the past, I think I've put the emphasis on the shiur and de-emphasis on the staff training. This year, anybody was looking forward to the shiur. I'll share some divrei Torah, but we're going to focus a little bit more on the practical aspect. I hope that's indeed what you want. If it's not, you can complain to Josh. I look forward to the feedback afterwards. Hopefully it'll hit the mark. There's something from this past week's parsha that jumps out as being a message of resonance that I think has implications for the work that we do, the work that you're doing here on the kollel, and that God willing will carry over to the year as a whole. In the second aliyah of the parsha, you have the instruction to wage war against Midian. So I'm going to ask this question. I don't know were any of you at my yeshir on Tuesday night that I ended up giving? Right. So this is spoiler alert for you. I'll use a similar vort now, and for everybody else, you can pass your cheat sheet notes back and forth to the middle of the room. But here. Exactly. So the question I want to start with is, how many of you consider yourselves really good at math? Two. How many of you consider yourselves pretty good at math? Okay. How many consider yourselves decently good at math? And how many of you consider yourselves downright lousy at math? Okay. I asked a similar question last night to the Michlal at Madrichot, and it's an interesting case study in distribution of male and female perceived expertise in math. We can talk about that sociological study afterwards. But for the most part, you guys feel you're pretty comfortable. There were a couple of guys who raised their hand and said, downright lousy. I'm here to tell you that the math problem we're about to present, I believe, can be cracked even by those who are downright lousy. Okay, Ethan? You ready? Okay, here we go. So the pasuk tells us that the way the soldiers were chosen for this battle against Midian was... Choose for yourselves soldiers. A thousand for each mate, 1,000 for each tribe. Lechol matos Israel, for every shevet in Klal Israel. How many shvatim do we have? 12. Well, 12. 12, sort of. 12, if you're counting 12, who are you excluding? And you're counting Ephraim and Menashe as consolidated into one. It's a Shevet Yosef, you might call it. All right, but generally speaking, when we talk about the Shvatim, Ephraim and Menashe are each considered a Shevet. So 12 would include Ephraim and Menashe consolidated. What does L'chol Matos Yisrael mean? Rashi says, L'chol Matos Yisrael, L'rabo Shevet Levi. It's to include Shevet Levi. Why would you have to be Marba Shevet Levi? You all just said, 12 already includes Shevet Levi. Why do you have to be Marba Shevet Levi? No major chidushim here yet. Generally speaking, they're excluded from battle. Generally speaking, Shevet Levi, they have their avoda. Their avoda is in the Beis Medrash. Their avoda is in the Mishkan. Their avoda is on the spiritual side of things. It's not to go out and wage war. But Rashi says, quoting the Sifri, he says, L'chol Matos Yisrael means L'rabo Shevet Levi. It's to include Shevet Levi. So, now if you're including Shevet Levi, how many tribes were sent out 1,000 soldiers to battle? 13. Okay, Ethan, you with me so far? Okay, 13. 13 tribes sent 1,000 soldiers each. That adds up to? 13,000. You were so quick with that. Excellent job. So, Ethan, I want you to ask me a kasha from the following pasuk, because the next pasuk says, Vayimasru me'alfei Yisrael, and they were handed over from the thousands of Israel, elef lamateh, 1,000 for each shevet, 12 elef chalutzei tzava. 12,000 soldiers.
Is it 13,000 or 12,000?
Excellent question, Ethan Dalva. That excellent question. Is it 12,000 or is it 13,000? How many soldiers went out to battle? If Rashi would have zipped his lips and said nothing, we would have no issue. Right? Because Rashi keeps his mouth shut. Then we know 12,000 soldiers means 1,000 from each Shevet, excluding Shevet Levi. But because Rashi opened his mouth, and before Rashi, Chazal opened their mouths and said in the Sifri that it was Lerabo Shevet Levi, and obviously that's, you know, there's an allusion to that in the Psukim themselves when it says Lechol Matos Yisrael. So now you have this question: how many was it? 12,000, the Torah says explicitly, but it was 1,000 for each Shevet, Lerabo Shevet Levi. What do you think? What are the answers? I mean, one you already collectively sort of suggested. I'm not sure I buy what that answer was, but let's have somebody speak it out anyway. Ephraim Menashe is one. Maybe Ephraim Menashe is one. But I'm really not sure I buy it, especially with Lechol Matos Yisrael is Lerabo Shevet Levi. That's the bigger Kiddush. Ephraim Menashe, you wouldn't think would even need a ribui. So the fact that Lechol Matos Yisrael is Marbe Shevet Levi, I would think certainly it's Marbe Ephraim and Menashe. Generally speaking, Ephraim and Menashe, for virtually every purpose, are considered two separate Shvatim. So, but it's a possible answer, yeah? They were non-combatants. I like that answer. You were going to say that also? Similar answer. Maybe Lerabo Shevet Levi means that they had a different role in battle. Maybe. I like that answer because it speaks to my hashkafa a lot, is that there's more than one way to fight. There's more than one way to fight. We all respect the Lom de Torah, that there is more than one way to fight. And whether, you know, you believe conscription draft or not, and who should be included, and without getting into the inyan diyoma of Israeli politics, but we certainly in this room are all machshav of the idea that there's more than one way to be on the front lines. There's the literal front lines, and there's the base medrash, and maybe Shevet Levi they are chalutzei tzava in a different way. So I think I like that answer hashkafically, but I also have trouble with it from then what's the rivui? That's Shevet Levi's role in every battle. Shevet Levi always plays that spiritual role as non-combatants in battle. And so then what's Rashi telling us? That's not a chiddush either. Lerabo Shevet Levi seems, at the face of it, even though I like the hashkafa of that answer, it would seem that Rashi's telling us something that I wouldn't have otherwise assumed. Okay, so any other suggested answers? No cheat sheets being passed. Okay, so I don't know how big a chiddush this is to say, but I think that what I'd like to suggest is the answer is going to have implications for the staff training we're going to get to in a second. The implication, I think, is when the pasuk says "Vayi Masru Me Alfei Yisrael" and they were handed over. That's a strange word. Vayi Masru, passive tense. They were handed over. That's a very, very strange word. You would think it would say Vayetzu and they went out, or Vayakumu, or Vayilchamu, or whatever it would say, some sort of active tense talking about what the soldiers did. Vayimasru Me'alfei Yisrael means they were dragged, they were schlepped, they had to be coerced, they had to be begged, they had to be twisted their arms. 12,000 soldiers had to have their arms twisted. Not because there were only 12,000 soldiers total. There were 13,000 soldiers total. 12,000 had to be schlepped. And 1,000 did the right thing and showed up of their own accord. 1,000 were tapped on the shoulder and they said, "Yes, sir, where do I report for service?" And Davka, that was Shevet Levi, who showed up of their own accord because they didn't have to be told twice. This is a special opportunity. If you're going to have to be a soldier in every single battle, maybe you get tired of it. Maybe you understand how scary it is, how daunting it is, and you're in bed and you have to be schlepped out and you have to press the snooze button 5 times before you pull them out of bed. That's Vayimasru. 12,000 soldiers had to be schlepped along, had to be dragged, had to be Vayimasru. 1,000 soldiers Masru themselves. They gave over of their own volition, of their own accord. Maybe. That's just darshan in the word vayimasru, which is strange. Maybe that's what's going on. How many soldiers were there total? Ethan? 13,000. But what's 13,000 minus 12,000? 1,000. And where were the 1,000? They didn't have to be schlepped. They came on their own. That's the legacy of Shevet Levi. They set the example of what real passion is, of what real enthusiasm is, and they showed up on their own. So obviously, there's so many different applications and lessons, I think, from this idea in terms of what we do in NCSY and in general, what you're doing particularly on Kollel specifically. That has to do with imparting that concept of being Shevet Levi to every one of these 280 NCSY Kollel participants. The idea that you don't want it to be a snooze. You don't want it to be Vayimasru. But you look at their American yeshiva high school experiences, and so many of them appear pretty much like a Vayimasru type experience. They show up because they're coerced to show up. They're not interested. They keep Shabbos because that's what's expected. They show up to davening and fake it as best as they can because that's what's expected. Nobody is setting a bar that's here to say there is something greater than this. Rav Tversky spoke about very briefly the other night the idea of just having the most important pre-qualification for achieving greatness is simply having the ambition and aspiration to be great. That is what is here. That's what's created here. An environment where the in thing, the cool thing, is to aspire to be great. And I see it incredibly, a lot of you know that my son is here this summer, my middle of 5 children, and it's just, it's magical. It brings tears to my eyes and my wife's eyes seeing that this is like a different kid in the summer than he is during the year. Where during the year, they don't realize the greatness that, of course, we know he's capable of all the time, but the school doesn't realize it because he schleps his feet along and he drags, and it is a drag. And here at Nicolo, he sits in the front row and he's excited for his chavrusa with Rav Schechter, and it's like a different kid. But there's 280 kids like that here who are feeling the she'ifa, feeling the ambition, the aspiration to do something magical and powerful. So Josh, one of the suggested topics that Josh suggested I speak about is the idea of setting individual goals for each of your guys. And I gravitate very much towards that topic because Sof ma'aseh b'machshav atchila, whatever these guys are going to achieve has to first be envisioned. The goal of what they're looking to accomplish, and in many cases, they're not aware of what they could potentially accomplish. It has to be, the picture has to be painted for them. Sof ma'aseh, wherever they're going to end up, has to be b'machshava tchila, now. So that means, for the guys that you're developing the closest kesher with, the guys in your chabura, or the other guys that you happen to have hit it off with, those are the guys that you have to already now, just a couple weeks into the summer, be thinking about what potential do I envision for this guy and how is it going to be realized. My older son, Shimon, who would be in Shalvim in the fall, God willing, and was on Kollel a couple of summers ago and had the privilege of being in Yoni Kram's Chabura. We miss him here this summer, but you guys are stepping up in his stead. But I have to give credit to Yoni in an incredible way because he sought out Shimon on an ongoing basis during the year. And that, it was incredible that they had a Skype, FaceTime, whatever video chat, chavrusa, I'll call it every week, but it was weekly, but not every week. We'll call it that. Weekly Chavrusa, but it was the only Torah learning that in that time my son looked forward to. And now he's geared up to Shalvim, and his WhatsApp status is already Shalvim Shanabet, and he's, you know, he's, thank God, he's got his eye on the right sort of goals. But he had no ambition when he came on call. He came on call because he heard it was good, and because, you know, his father got a 25% off staff discount. So that's why he came, and the ambition had to be painted by his madrich. It had to be his madrich that said, "You are capable of such great things, and I'm gonna help schlep you there." Because in many cases, the excitement that these guys feel during the summer, it doesn't always carry over to the year in the same way. So there are say three lessons that I'd like to impart, and then we will leave a couple minutes for questions. Lesson number one is, this has to be the most powerful experience possible. And in order for it to be the most powerful experience possible, they have to feel that it's energy filled nonstop, and you all, Rabbi Benovitz, starting with Rabbi Benovitz, but you all do an incredible job creating an environment in which the energy level is here for 42 days straight, and that is a huge challenge. And I know how challenging it is. And I was madrich on Kolo only 21 summers ago. And it's challenging to maintain that energy level for 42 straight days. And the only way to do that is to set that as a personal goal for yourself. To say, when I feel myself slipping in terms of my own energy level, I have to recharge. That's number one. To say, I need to bring my A game for 42 straight days, and that means if I don't want to make such specific suggestions. Speak to your own rebbeim or just consider it carefully on your own. But let's say I'm here for my own learning, as well as for the learning of others. And I have a chavrusa each night from 12 to 1. Some of you are doing. But you feel your energy level slipping during the day. I would like to humbly suggest go to sleep at 12 for a couple nights in a row instead of at 1 or 2, because that energy level is critical to this experience. You have to be bringing your A game on a consistent basis. Whatever that means for each of you, if it means, you know, sleeping during some part of the afternoon instead of whatever it is that's going to allow you to recharge your own batteries so that you can have the highest energy level possible for 42 straight days, do it. And because there is no other experience like this. The other 46 weeks of the year are not going to be a replacement for the 6 weeks here. These 6 weeks have to be at the highest level possible. The second lesson is for the NCSYers themselves. It has to be at the highest level possible. And that means not in a coercive way, but in a way that you could say, bring your energy to them and have it spill over to them. To say to the guys in your chabura, you know, how's it going? Express your care and concern for them now so that you're A, building that relationship, and B, having them feel like, this is exciting. The Beis Medrash is the place to be. I was blown away that the first mishmar on Thursday night, the Burgers Bar mishmar two Thursday nights ago, that my son, I'd already gotten a report from Rabbi Benovitz about how many guys were at the mishmar and how phenomenal it was. And I talked to my son, and his mishmar was amazing, and they had Burgers Bar afterwards. And I said, I'm happy you went. I was an innocent comment, you know, making. I'm happy. He said, Abba, like everybody went. There were only like 50 or 70 guys not there. So I said to him, but you could have been one of the 50 or 70 guys who were not there. I'm impressed that you were one of the 210, 230, whatever it was, that were there. Right? That's higher level math. I was impressed. But the idea is that happens only because you establish an environment in which the expectation is doing great things. I'll tell you one other funny thing. My son, who loves Srili Prero, said to me a few months ago already, did I tell you this? I don't think so. My son says to me, Abba, I need you to make sure that my madrich is Srili Prero. And I'm not gonna get involved in something like that. So I start like hemming and hawing. And my older son Shimon overhears that, and he says, Morty, you don't understand. On Kolel, every madrich is Srili Prero. So I say that not as an insult to you. I hope you hear it that way, but as a that's what every madrich aspires to be. But that's what it means is. And he loves Matthew, and he really loves. So the idea again, that's lesson number two, is that you are the ones who create, because you're also really prayer. You are the ones who create that environment in which everything is exciting. Everything is filled with enthusiasm. Everything is where the exciting thing to do is to show up to Mishmar late on a Thursday night. So that's the second thing. A, you got to recharge your own batteries, and B, you have to take the individual interest in those kids to create that enthusiasm and that energy all the time. The third thing is to say, okay, what is this kid capable of accomplishing during the year, and what am I going to do about it? And say it for every single kid. Take a few minutes of quiet time in the next week and think about what is this kid capable of, and what's it going to take to make that happen? I really, like I said about Yoni, I give him tremendous credit. He asked that question. And he said, my wife, who likes to worry that our kids are not progressing fast enough. Yoni said, I'm telling you, I was just like Shimon in high school. I was just like Shimon in high school. And now, of course, my wife, he's going to be Yoni Kram. And it's possible for each of you to just think carefully about, you know the environment in which these kids live during the year, what is possible for them to achieve. There are many different things. For a guy who, and a lot of these kids struggle with the most basic things. They struggle with wearing tzitzis every day. They struggle with making sure that they keep their tefillin on for the whole davening and don't need to take a break to go to the bathroom in the middle of davening every day. Some of these guys, the challenge is to daven Maariv every night. Some of the guys, the challenge is to those things are taken for granted for some of the stronger guys. And the challenge is, can you learn 5 minutes every day extra that's not expected of you by anyone except yourself? You're demanding it of yourself. For each guy, there is a goal that you can establish, and because they respect heaven and earth out of you, you have the ability to set that bar and actually speak to them, not now, in the last week of the program, about, I want to talk to you about what you can accomplish going forward and how it's going to happen. And actually have the conversation, a sof ma'aseh b'machshava tchila conversation, a goal-setting conversation in which you say, I want you to know I think the world of you, and I think you're capable of great things, and I've given some thought. That's a flattering message by itself. I've given some thought to what you can accomplish and how you're going to get there. So I don't want to take any more time, but those are the three things I think are critical to having a roshem on these guys. Two during the summer, one that's going to spill over during the year. That relationship is worth everything, really is. These guys, again, maybe 10, 15% of the guys we're going to be so lucky are going to click with a Rebbe in their yeshiva high school, and the heavens will sing from that relationship. But for the vast majority, they're not going to have that. It's going to be, at best, fine. And it's up to you to create an environment in which they feel like they can accomplish anything they set their minds to, or anything And if you think they can get here, then they're going to start to imagine they can get here. That's what I'd like to really encourage, that for all 280 of these guys, if every chabura gives thought, every madrich here gives thought to, okay, who are the guys that I really have a relationship with in my chabura, outside my chabura, and can we have a goal-setting conversation? What should those goals be before we leave Kolo at the end of the 6 weeks? The Roshem of this summer will be everlasting. You should all have the chizuk to be able to do that successfully. I should be here for a few minutes now, and then after Mincha also. And anybody that please introduce yourselves. If I haven't met you before, I'd really like to. And if you have questions for me, I'm open to them. Do we have time for one question now, or going straight to minutes? Okay, one question, if there is one. And if not, you'll have more time to prepare for Mincha. Okay, all right, Yashar Koach to all of you.
Thank you very much, Shirley.